we started January of 23 with no revenue, and then it was a crazy ride. I mean, January of 23, and I'm talking about less than a year ago, it ended with 25K of ARR, and then February it was 150, March it was 280, April it was 770. And the second week of May, we crossed the $1 million of ARR.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started.
20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with CTech.
Oren Kendall, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Considering pretty well, nothing to complain about, and everything is going really well. Excited to start a new year, our second with revenue new year, which is super exciting for us.
Incredible. Well, it's fantastic to get to know you. You're operating in a space that I'm deeply passionate about. It's obviously the space of entertainment and media, but in the context of content creation, and the integration and intersection of artificial intelligence and technology with the world of content. This is a topic that is particularly exciting for me as a content creator myself, and thinking about how is our ability to leverage these technological tools going to change either the content we create, the way we create that content, the way we adapt and personalize the content for end users for different purposes. So without further ado, I'm looking forward to diving in. Tell me a little bit about really the space that we're going to talk about. What is this space that you're living in right now?
Yeah, well, when Peter, my co-founder, and I started, it was pretty clear for us that we're going to do something in the intersection of machine learning and video. Back then, we were referring mainly to content in the broader space or the broader aspect of video, but soon enough we understood that other than video, nothing will survive soon. So we focused on video and started thinking about stuff that can be made using what we know to do from our past experience. And we noticed that there is a fast growing community of people of all sorts and walks of life that just create content on a regular basis. There are various different types of content creation contexts. One would be the creator economy, in which you see independent creators trying to create content in order to monetize it and basically make a living out of brand deals and monetization platforms and stuff like that. And on the other side, there is the production companies, the other sides of the scale, the production companies that actually create massive amounts of content as part of, you know, what they, their main function, everything that we watch on TV or Netflix or any streaming services is being produced by large production companies. But in the middle, we soon identify that there is a whole section of businesses, just businesses that we all know and love and work with, that are starting to create content in a more and more frequent manner. We noticed that, you know, if you look like 15 or 20 years ago, people would say, if you are starting a business and you don't have a website, you will never reach enough audience in order to be relevant for anyone who will come by your business and purchase your stuff. Today, it's not just website, it's also content. And in content, I mean mainly video. Okay, so we see more and more small and medium businesses that are creating video on a regular basis just to attract, attract traffic, create brand awareness, create thought leadership for themselves, in the area that they are working on. And we kind of identified that this is a very fast growing market that we can tap into and start using our toolbox of machine learning to make it more efficient. That's like the, in broad strokes, the space that we are operating in.
And you, how did you get here into this space? How, you know, did you get excited about this? And how is your journey shaped into here?
Like most of, most of the entrepreneurs, I think it would be pure coincidence. We kind of played around with different ideas. We are very, I would say, religious about validating anything that we do and making decisions based on our data. And there were a bunch of other ideas that we tested that were so bad that we just kept on iterating until we bumped into this concept. So it's pretty embarrassing to say, but the first idea that we started to work on as Munch was transforming long form videos into blog posts. Don't tell anyone that I ever mentioned that in public. I know I'm recorded, but yeah, what the hell? It was very short. Okay. It was a very short and embarrassing and cringy period of time in which we actually invested all of our effort in trying to make that work. And since we are religious about hearing what, you know, potential users has to say, we started interviewing hundreds of content creators and small businesses and heard from most of them how it might be nice to have a tool like the one that we're building, but how imperative it is for them to have something that will take all of their library of long form content and enable them to get some access to new audiences on TikTok and Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And after hearing that for hundreds of times, we just threw the idea and the solution that we had in place out of the window and focused on video to video transformations. When we started to try to understand why we hear it so much from so many people, we quickly understood something very, very simple. The idea of creating long form content has been here for, you know, a long time. The idea of using content as a marketing tool to attract traffic and to increase awareness has been here for more than a few years. And you see more and more businesses that have very successful YouTube channels with long form videos on them that are decreasing in reach and engagement year after year. Usually they wouldn't be so successful in doing the same on the short form video platforms, just because, you know, the style is different, the rhythm is different, the audience has different demands. And when you are used to for 5 years creating a video podcast of an hour and a half every week, creating the shift in your mind and just create 15 seconds and 30 seconds that actually provide value and not just you walking in the corridor and talking to the camera because you have to, that's becoming very, very challenging. So we understood that there is like a gap. I mean, people are trying to get from YouTube to TikTok, Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts, but they don't know how, but they do have tons of pre-existing content on their shelf that they are willing to repurpose and use for those short form video platforms. So back in May of 22, we released our first and very embarrassing MVP. We went out with it, we launched it to the market, we tried to see how well it can work and how much traction it can get. And before you know it, we had like 50,000, you know, users using the service mm-hmm. on a weekly basis. That's not like a huge deal because it was totally free. Our main intent was to gather feedback and collect data, but still 50,000 doesn't come, you know, very easily. We didn't do any PPC. We didn't do any paid promotion. It just, you know, it was totally organic. That was the end of 22. This is where we understood that we have something that there is a market that actually wants. And this is where we kind of shifted gears, started to really work on the product and make it deeper, and started to charge actual money for the service that we're providing. And this is where our growth journey started on January of 23.
Incredible. So what can you teach me about, you know, short form content in the age that we're in today? So obviously we understand there's a transition from long form to short form, but what are some of the characteristics of the successful short form content that captures sort of, I guess, the top performing types of content that work today?
That's a great question. So first of all, definitions. Long form content used to be 4 hours and then an hour and a half. And now anything above 3 minutes is considered long form. I kid you not. Anything above 3 minutes is considered long form. Short form is somewhere around between 10 seconds to a minute. Difference is mainly around who consumes it and how valuable it can be to the audience that actually consume it. So when we started the journey and we talked with users, we heard like three different versions of how it is right to do repurposing of long form to short form. The first one was, I have a kick-ass type of podcast. It's an hour and a half, but I'm sure that everybody will find it super interesting. I just need to get it to their attention. So let's create a teaser. And anyone who really watched the teaser on their feed on TikTok will probably just turn off TikTok and then go ahead and consume the whole 90 minutes of the podcast. You know that it won't work, but there are some people that actually still believe that it will. The second version was, yeah, nobody will consume my 1 hour and a half weekly podcast, but if I will create a highlights version of, you know, 10 minutes, it will probably get, you know, distributed like hot dogs, and everybody will just consume it and have it for their use. In some cases, it can be relevant. Most cases, still not. The main point is that attention span has decreased radically over the last decade, especially over the last 3 or 4 years since TikTok entered our lives. And the main challenge, and this is why repurposing content is very, very hard, the main challenge is to create very short form type of videos that actually provide value and can stand on their own. And this is the secret sauce of what we're doing. We have an engine that can actually tell you how much a specific 10 or 15 seconds extract of your whole long form video can be coherent and stand on its own. It's a way to measure context. It's a way to understand what's going on and what is being talked about in the video. And it's a way to basically provide you with very short and tasty nuggets of the original content that you have. This is the version that we support. This is what we think that is the right thing to do when you are trying to get more content into short form. And this is what we are providing automatically based on our engine. But there's another thing that embedded in this approach, and that's it's automatically taking care of quantity. So if you want to rise above the noise on TikTok, Instagram Reels, or YouTube Shorts, it's not just about creating this very, you know, unique and valuable small nuggets of content. It's also about quantity. If you will create short and super valuable, you know, pieces of advice on any profession that you can think of and post it on TikTok, you might get some following, you might get some engagement. But if you will do that once a week, like you used to back in YouTube, you will never get anywhere. Even if you do that once a day, you need to do that like between 3 to 5 times a day. And in order to make that happen, it's either you are a native short form video creator, or you have to use something else in order to get to these type of quantities and start, you know, creating massive amounts of content on a regular basis. So what we usually advise our customers is we tell them, listen, you cannot rely only on Munch, but you can keep on creating your weekly video podcast and then use it for short form videos that you can post on a daily basis until the next time you record. And on top of that, if you do like 2 or 3 short form videos per week that are totally, you know, native short form, where you're actually holding the phone and talking to it, it'll be just fine. And we see the results on the ground. We see a huge increase in reach and engagement for the customers that are doing that.
Incredible. And so how are you seeing this space evolve? Looking ahead, if you had to make a prediction on consumer behavior, 2025, 2026, where are we headed here?
That's a hard one. It's complicated because on one hand, you see that every new generation that enters the arena, you know, get the bar even higher in terms of how much information you can squeeze into how little time. And the demands for, you know, gratification and excitement are just rising, which means that the current trend of content being shorter and shorter and more concise is going to continue. On the other hand, you see other trends like, you know, TikTok now increasing, and talking like 2 days ago, they announced that they are increasing the limit of videos on TikTok to 30 minutes. So it seems that there are like two, you know, counter opposing trends going on at once. And it's going to be very, very hard to predict. I think that at the end, it's going to be entertainment and coaching and pieces of knowledge that will be squeezed into very short form type of videos, and interviews, conversations, the type of stuff that is a bit harder to condense. It's going to be longer and longer, and people will start to consume all types of content depending on the context in which they are, you know, at the what hour of the day and what context they have in their lives and what they're currently doing and what they're currently interested in.
100%. It's all about personalization and context and moving forward. Where is Munch today?
In what term? Yeah, business or product?
All around. So, you know, we're in the beginning of 2024. This is, you know, content creation and the creator economy, and social media has never been, you know, hotter. You know, where are we today in terms of the company that you've built?
Yeah, so the company is still pretty young and early stage. We are currently 12 full-time employees plus 8 freelancers and providers that are working very closely together. The team is growing, which is a mix of emotions. I mean, it's on one end, you know, you feel proud to come in the morning and find more and more people in the corridor, and things are, you know, moving faster and things are looking better. On the other hand, the intimacy of, you know, being four people until just a few months ago is starting to get lost. I mean, the MVP was released on May of 22. By December of 22, we understood we have something that is validated enough to actually build a business on top of it. We started January of 23 with no revenue, and then it was a crazy ride. I mean, January of 23, and I'm talking about less than a year ago, it ended with 25K of ARR. And then February it was 150, March it was 280, April it was 770, and the second week of May we crossed the $1 million of ARR. When we were $1.2 million of ARR, we were still four people, including the two founders. It became pretty hard to manage. So this is where we went out and raised our seed round around May and June. It was led by A-Star Capital, which is an amazing fund, and participated by Cardoman and Reimagine and Liquid2. All of them are just amazing partners for us for this road. And this is where we started to grow more, mindset. Yeah, I mean, we finished 2023 with $2.3 million of ARR. It's a great first year for revenue. And it's, you know, you go to sleep on one end of 23 with a great satisfaction, and you wake up the other morning with hysterical type of panic. Yeah, I need to triple that in the next 12 months. But we have a plan, and we are actually confident we're going to do that. So, I would say that we have nothing to complain about.
Wow. That's really incredible. If you had to look back and think about what is part of the journey you've been most excited about so far as the entrepreneur, as a founder, what really has been, you know, the most exciting part for you, or the most enjoyable part for you?
All of it. I'm the type of guy that actually, you know, likes enjoying the road and enjoying the journey. and we had some tough times. I mean, it wasn't all rosy since the beginning. We were even close to closing the company at more than one point. And even in those tough times where there was, you know, rising uncertainty and we didn't know where it goes and if it will survive or not, I actually still enjoyed it because it's an adventure. It's a great way to learn. It's a great way to, you know, collect more achievements, if we're talking in gamers lingo. But I think that the most exciting part was when the business started going like that. I mean, there's no other feeling that can compete with waking up every day, day after day, week after week, month after month, and looking at the ARR and seeing it like just, you know, rocketing up until there is a point where you start to ask yourself, is this product market fit? Is this how it feels? Is this what I've been reading about in blog posts for the past 5 years? And when you understand the answer is yes, I mean, this is something that is incredible. To understand that you actually achieve this magical point in time where things are just starting to work smoothly together until the next, you know, brick wall that you hate. I mean, it happens.
Owen, sounds amazing. Sounds like such a fun and exciting journey in an awesome, awesome space. Hoping for the growth to continue like this and hoping for the product market fit to stick and for the company to do incredibly well. I'm excited to try the product myself, like we spoke about. And thank you for the time and for the inspiration.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
And good luck.